Man, let's just give God thanks and praise. Lord, we thank you for being in this house today. Amen. We thank you for being with us. Well, today, guess what we're going to talk about? One of those elements as part of the big five here at Hillview that you got to stay plugged into as you journey to develop. Now, first, only Jesus can what? That's it. Good. I'm glad we got that down. Only Jesus Christ saves you. Occasionally, I go over this because we continue to get confused. And some of you are going to want to say, because I've done good things, God is going to love me. Now, let me help you. God loves you, and he already knows we can't do good things. And he said, in spite of us being sinners, God sent his son to love us and to save us. So let's think about this. Jesus comes to us in the form of a servant. Pretty neat, isn't it? Now, we're going to talk about serving today. Jamie Ward, Pastor Ward, Dr. Ward's done a great job, man, talking about the power of the scripture and needing to learn and to know and to activate the word of God in your life. And then last week we went over prayer. You got to do what? You got to pray. Now today is going to be a tough sermon. So go with me to John chapter 2. It's a tough sermon. And I would propose to you it's a tough sermon into the evangelical church of the 21st century. It's very interesting. I think it was Glazy last night was telling me as he went to whatever the documentary of was one of these little pop celebrities, and her parents used to be Pentecostal preachers, and she says at the end of the documentary, I still have a faith, but I have a faith on my own terms. Now, this is very popular. Now, hold on. Don't be very critical of that, because most of you have the same faith. Yeah, I'm going to follow God as long as it's acceptable under my feeling base, my comfort zone, because I've heard it out of people that claim to be faithful. Well, I need to be at peace with that before I do it. The scripture never one time calls you to be at peace. It says you'll be given peace, but it doesn't say you're in agreement with God before you go do it. God makes us uncomfortable. How many of y'all found that to be true? And if you're truly going to be a servant of God, there are going to be some uncomfortable moments. Let me lay it out. If you're going to serve and love and engage in passion in life, there will be uncomfortable moments. How many of you all are parenting? You are a parent. Okay. Scott, there are some what? You are the parent of daughters, so there's some what? Uncomfortable moments. It just is. It's part of the process of life. It's part of it. And so we need to talk about what does it mean to serve? Well, let me tell you three things we're up against that I think all of us need to take a conscious look of. You and I have been raised in a moment of time where ever since we were born, everything in the world's told us it's about what? Me. Even the church has told you that. As you grow up in youth group, it said, well, find your way, find your purpose. It's all about you. It's about God coming. No, it's about God. It's really about God. And that's so tough for us because we really believe it's about what? Us. We have restaurants that say, fast food restaurants that say, you can have it what? Told ya. It's all about? I mean, it's real. So instead of saying, I even go to the Christian comic store, I mean bookstore over there, and they have books, How to Have a Better Prayer Life. That's about who? How to Find a Miracle from God. 11 Easy Steps to Find a Miracle from God. Now, here's what I'd really suggest. If you'd read the Bible first, you won't buy that other stuff. Because you realize that any book written in the name of God that's about you is not written in the name of God. Because it's not about us. And that does what? Poorly disappoints us, especially in the religious community, because surely God has created us to do what? Feel good. Isn't that what we really believe? God has made me to feel good. And so if I don't feel good, what? If you don't believe that's true, the feel-good business is a multi-billion dollar business in the United States of America. We have a pill for every mood you might have to do what? Make us. Well, where did that come about? Because we really believe that we've been created to do what? Feel good. And God said, no. I've come that you might have a full and abundant life. You're going to have some good times, you have some bad times, you have some crazy times, you have some ordered times, but all of that's going to be a part of the life process. So we're up against, we do think it's about us. So consider that today. Number two, we really don't care a lot about somebody else as a world at large, do we? How many of y'all really care about your neighbor? I mean, or you only care about your neighbor when their dog gets in your yard? Yeah, see what I'm saying? I mean, we're not really too worried about things happening as long as they're not happening to what? Us. That's why crazy things can go on. We really believe that we can do crazy things as a group of people and individuals not be affected. What do you think? Like when we spend all the money, that means nobody will have any money. But see, most of us think, well, I got mine, so everything will be all right. That's what we really think. I really don't care about my, I really don't care about neighbors as long as I got what? That ain't going to get me. That's only going to happen what? Over there. Have you noticed that? That's happening. If it's happening over there and it ain't happening here, then we really don't what? We really don't care. But we've learned in a global society, whatever happens anywhere affects everywhere. Yes, and that's not a new world. That's just, guess what, Pete? The way it's always been. Do we care about each other? And here's the third thing I observed. Now, don't let this freak you out, but we don't like to work anymore. How many of y'all have kind of noticed that? People really don't like to work. Really, I mean, think about this. I live in a nation that today's times where almost 48% of the people in this nation are dependent on the government by some form or fashion. 50 years ago, that would have been unthinkable because the mentality of somebody owes me something did not exist. I didn't have credit cards back then either because you didn't have a mentality that said, I deserve to get it even though I haven't earned it. You didn't have the mentality developed yet for that to be a viable business. But today, not only do we think it, but BJ, we say, I what? Deserve it. How many of y'all ever said that? I deserve it. It's not what? It's not fair, by gosh. Those people went to school, got an education, worked real hard, studied for 20 years, but I'm not making the same as them. That's not what? Fair. Do we have anybody thinks like that in the United States of America? But we really don't care too much about it because, see, as long as it doesn't affect our household and I'm okay, we don't really care what other people think about it, right? See how crazy it gets? So if you're wondering how things get chaotic, guess what? It really starts with this. I'm just unwilling to be a servant. I'm really unwilling to have a servant attitude. And so I just want to go over a couple of things today. I want you to go with me to John chapter 2. Jesus finds himself in an interesting place. Of all things, a wedding. Now, some of you just came. I look around here, a lot of newlyweds in here right now. So y'all have just finished the wedding. Brad, Hannah, praise God. Last week, wasn't it? Y'all went through one of these things. Well, now Jesus wouldn't have come to your wedding, but he would come to the reception. I think he's smart. We don't find Jesus at the wedding ceremony, but we find him at the reception. And guess what's happening? There's a problem. If y'all have ever been through a wedding or family's been through a wedding, at weddings, people go crazy. And let me tell you who really goes crazy. The mother of the bride, crazy. In fact, here's what I do. I stay in my office to the last possible opportunity to come out. Just because you never know what's going to go on, and I just want to go ahead and get up here where she can't get to me. Because the mother of the bride, I mean, if you're supposed to have like purple flowers and they came in, you know, lavender, that's a crisis in that moment. And I'm talking sane, reasonable people in a wedding moment just go, they lose their everlasting minds. And that, it's this tense moment. Well, let me see what's happening at this wedding. Apparently, Jesus' mom and this lady are good friends because she's at the wedding with the family, and Jesus and his disciples are invited. So they show up to this wedding on the third day in Cana, and they got a problem. They have run out of wine. Now, listen, I don't want to break y'all's hearts, but now if you come from a real, you know, Baptist Church of Christ, Methodist from the South background, I just want you, listen, I don't want to start an issue here, but I just want you to know the truth. This is wine. It's not grape juice. It was never grape juice. And I know Brother Freddy back from the backwoods told you that it was grape juice, but he lied. It's not grape juice. It never has been grape juice, and it never will be grape juice. The one that started the grape juice deal was named Mr. Welch. And he was able to give well to the Methodist Church. That's where that came from. It's wine. The Greek word is it's wine. And the reason it's wine, this ain't a Baptist wedding. It's a Jewish wedding. Have y'all ever been to a Jewish wedding? Anybody been to a Jewish wedding? Yes. I have too. Now that's the way to do a wedding. You get done with that wedding, you married. And you staying married because you don't ever want to have to go through all that again. That's why they stay married. Look here. So, I mean, there's a celebration, there's dancing, there's a celebration. Now, check us out. In marriage, and Larry, you and Emily are doing marriage, isn't it interesting that in marriage, we launch a marriage through a what? A celebration. That's the way, and guess what? You ought to keep it that way. Keep on dancing. Y'all notice how people, when they first get married, they're smiling. Well, you should smile a little more each anniversary. Unfortunately. I see like big smiles in the beginning, and by the 10 years, they number frowns. That's not the way God designed it. He designed you to keep on living in His fullness. But sometimes we run out. Now imagine the embarrassment here. You got the big party planned. And by the way, please don't send me a bunch of emails. I'm not telling y'all to go drink wine. I'm just telling you to not sound stupid. Okay? Because the world really has a hard time dialoguing with stupid people. And just tell them, you know, it's wine. Did Jesus drink wine? Yes. That disqualifies him to serve from the Southern Baptist Convention, but I don't think that bothers Jesus. He's risen from the dead. You know what I mean? And he will be long gone after he will be here after all of our stuff is closed. He'll still be reigning on high. Were they out of wine? Now, men, you be careful. Now, men, I want to warn you on this scripture. Don't you ever speak to a woman like Jesus is going to talk to his mama. Now, here's why. You know why he can do that, Cox? You know why he can do that? He's Jesus. And if you tell your mama this, you'll find out you ain't Jesus. Now, look at here. You know, mama's upset. Mamas feel other men. Mamas. Y'all women, you get a group of mamas together, they just feel each other. They're telepathic in spirit and nature. It's called the mom nature. True? I mean, y'all just got something that God gave you. Whoop! Y'all all become united moms. Well, this mom's out of wine. So Jesus is there. His mama's there. And his mama looks at Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, they're out of wine. And he said, well, You know what Jesus said? Woman, why do you involve me? Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. Now, you say that to your mama, you'll need to be resurrected. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Now, hold on. I'm going to tell you why she involves him. She knows who her son is. But then guess who she goes and involves? First, she involves Jesus. Now, note that. There is no life unless Jesus is on the scene. There is no new wine unless who's on the scene? Jesus. So we got to have who? Jesus. Now, let's look at who Jesus goes to next. His mother. She don't pay no attention to Jesus. How many of y'all have ever told your mom something she's not paid any attention to you? How many of y'all got one of these mamas? You going to, whether you want to or not, mama. Any of y'all got one of those mamas? I said, mama, I don't think that's right. I don't care what you think. It's what we're going to do. My mom never raised her voice, but she did this with her finger. Sweet, loving mom. I knew that's when she's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You going to straighten up, boy? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, who? Mama. You know, Bobby, I almost know. Gertie do that to you, too. I've heard you, yes, Mama Gertie. She grabbed back of that ponytail and flipped you over a couple times. Makes sense? Made you holy, but yes, ma'am. Woman, why do you involve me? Well, Jesus has got to be involved. So today, the first thing I want you to know, if you're going to understand really loving each other, you got to involve Jesus. So we got to involve. Now, let's look at what Jesus does. He invokes. When we involve Jesus, He invokes, you know what I mean by that? He gets with, gets into servants. So young people, be careful. Don't be led astray. I want you to know it's interesting who he looks to. Servants. And so really there's this dialogue that's going on in our culture. Guess what? He didn't call the celebrity pastors of the day or the he went to the servants. And I want you to know, servants are the folks that see miracles. This still works this way today. Just be open to do what God asks you to do. You know what? His mother looks at the servants and says, do whatever it tells you to do. Now, how many of y'all realize this? Jesus asked you to do some things that doesn't make sense. Now, check out what Jesus does. Nearby stands these big old jars, 20 to 30 gallon jars. They're used for ceremonial washing. I mean, they're big jars. You know what I'm talking about, client? 20 gallons. Now, over at Warren Central, a gallon weighs 8 pounds. Does it do the same thing at Bowling Green High? It weighs 8 pounds. That's what I looked it up on Google. It's 8 pounds. Do I have any scientific people here? Brad, you've learned, is it 8 pounds, Brad? You've done a lot of fancy math since your days. 8 pounds. Now, if my math serves me correctly, that's 160 on one jar, 240 on the other jar. For you football players, we got a DB and an outside linebacker. That's how much these jars weigh, all right? All right, you with me? They ain't got a jar pew size yet, okay? But now, hold on. Hold on. The jar's also made of what? Stone. This is a heavy situation. But who did he call on? The servants. You see, a lot of us back off what God calls us to because we think it's too big right from the start. That's too heavy, Lord. I can't even go get it. It's too heavy. How many of you all always have an excuse to God of why not? Now, note these servants. Do whatever he... And this doesn't make sense. Miss Whitman, this doesn't make sense. We're out of what? Wine. And what's Jesus looking at? Water. We need grapes. We need a wine press, and Jesus is looking at what? Water jars. Has he lost his everlasting mind? We need a trip to the wine store, and Jesus wants to go to the well. Now, how many of y'all miss miracles because you won't go where Jesus tells you? Because you know better. How many of y'all would have been going, I can tell you right now, I can see Hillview Heights Church. Oh, we got to run down somewhere. We got to get some more wine. They're out of wine. Family's going to be embarrassed. It's going to be bad. I mean, we'd have a committee meeting. We'd be getting everybody roused up. We got to get this taken care of. Jesus says, hey, go take those jars and fill them up. His mother says, do whatever you tell them. Go take those jars and fill them up. Now, it sounds like this don't make sense, but it makes sense. How many of you realize Jesus will tell you some things that don't make sense? Like this. How many of y'all? Yeah, I'll tell you some things you know Jesus already told you. Tell people about Jesus. Is that pretty clear? Let me help you with that. Go ye therefore. See, spot, run. You notice how that's a similar rhythm? And guess what the church won't do today? Go ye therefore. I deal with churches that bring in $2 or $3 million a year and see 10 baptisms and think they're holy. Because they want to carry water on their own terms. They want to do what they think's best. And then they tell me this. Well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. You're so simple. We're deeply involved in discipleship. I said, really? So, wait a minute. The guy that created discipleship, his name would be Jesus. And he disciples these guys for like 3 years of intense theological depth. And the last thing he says to them is, go ye therefore. I said, maybe your church needs to graduate. Maybe y'all been in the classroom too long. Because, see, we like the classroom. You know what I'm talking about? We like to think about what God could do. And then we got groups that like to pray about it. You know, this was the prayer. Go fill the water jars. They didn't have to have 5 hours of prayer. They didn't have to jump around the room. They didn't have to pray that God would levitate the jars and take them down to the well. They just said, go fill the jars. And they were very prayerful people. And they really, you know, crazy rabbi wants us to go. And guess what? They went and filled them. And not only did they filled them to the brim. Now, how many of y'all approach God like that? He asked you to do something to God. I'm bringing back every drop. If you're going to do something wonderful, if you're going to do something special, I want every drop of it that'll fit in this jar to be blessed. What if you caught that attitude? God, I want you to take every molecule of my life, every movement of energy in my life, everything that I have, every second that you'll give me, Lord, and I want to make sure that it's filled to the brim, that you would anoint it, bless it, and touch it with everything you got. Isn't that neat? If we live with that kind of passion. Now, y'all have learned some good things. How many of y'all believe God to be sovereign? It's a nice word. The younger generation's throwing it around. But it's a little bit different when God tells you to stay where you're supposed to stay and go where you're supposed to go. Guess what? There's no exit when things get tough. I want y'all to hear that. And I want you to hear it from the Bible, not from Pastor Ayers. From the Bible. Guess what? Adam, it's tough to carry 240 pounds, isn't it? I've seen you in the gym with a lot of weight on you, but it's tough and it's heavy. And you old farm boy, that'd have been a heavy bale of hay, wasn't it? Guess what Jesus said? Pack it. But, Klein, you and I'd have to carry it together. But now you and I'd get smart. We'd find us a dolly. Hey, he didn't say you couldn't use a dolly. He just said, go fill it. But he told who to go fill it. Now, here's what I want you to note. I don't want you all to miss this. I see this going on in 21st century Christianity. I see more of us wanting to be celebrities than servants. And here's what I want you to really know. God works his miracles in the everyday. God wouldn't know what a miracle conference was and still doesn't. God never drew people into a large auditorium to show them heaven. It's much more powerful than that. He showed heaven in the everyday of life, like at a wedding when they run out of wine. And they need to know, is life still available? Jesus says, oh yeah, go fill it. And they fill it to the brim. So for us, we need to check. Hillview, are we willing to fill it to the brim? Here's what brim people do. They never ask this question, gross or net. They give. They never see how little they can get by with. They want God to touch everything they got. Watch this. If they can make an A, they don't make a B. That makes sense? Because what filling it to the brim for some of you all is what? An A. But guess what? Filling it to the brim for some of you all in calculus is a C. But fill it to the brim. You know what God does? Because the servants were willing to just do what he says, he works a miracle. Now, this was a scary moment. They get the cup of water, and he takes it to the Grand Master Maitre d', the guy that's in charge, the boss, and he takes a sip of what the servant thought was water, and now it has become best wine. Because, you see, when God touches, things become best, not good. What? Best. Isn't it interesting? The wine that Jesus made was better than the best wine that was already served. And he's upset. He calls the groom over because, you know, the groom, man, he's messed up. And he tells him, don't you understand what you do here? Now, y'all note this. I want you to see this in Scripture. He didn't realize where it had come from. So he calls the bridegroom over. And then he tells him this. He said, don't you know, you bring out the best wine first. And after they've had too much to drink, then you bring out the cheap stuff. Now, I know, you know, this is Kentucky, so for y'all to understand this, not that any of you would have ever participated in this, you bring the coors out before you get to the cooks. And by the way, if you're drinking cook's beer, you need recovery help immediately, okay? That's what that tells you. Because that tastes awful, Elizabeth told me. And here's what I want you to know. This is about what? This ain't about wine. It's about what? Trust, faith, and will you follow? Will you do what God says when it doesn't make sense to the logical mind? Honestly, guess what most in the 21st century say? No. Lord, if it doesn't bless me, if it doesn't affect me, and if it's going to cost me too much work, we'll just go without the wine. Now, guess what? There's a life plan in here. If we said, Lord, you know what? It's not about me. It's you. Lord, and I know if I do what you asked me to do, somebody else is going to be what? Blessed by it. And Lord, I'm willing to do the work to be a blessing. What if we just all did that? What would happen? I mean, come on, follow me. Track with me here. What would happen? You change the world. But then, I mean, it's boring. Nobody gets to be a celebrity. Nobody gets to write a book. Nobody gets to have a conference. The work then would have to be blamed on who? God. I thought about this miracle in today's times in the 21st century church. I could see it right now. If this happened, there would be a downloading series on water into wine. Gallon by gallon steps of how to make this happen in your life. And then there would be a whole Bible study on water into wine, 6-week series. Then there would be a book, 3 days of purpose with water wine. Because we want to market what God does. And God's looking for servants that'll just do it. And guess what we're in shortage of? Same thing Jesus said we would be. The fields are white unto harvest, and the authors are few. The fields are white unto harvest, and the executive pastors are few. The fields are white unto harvest, and the TV celebrity pastors are few. Is that what it says? Are the fields are white unto harvest, and Jesus said, but the workers are. You know what I found in church? There's a lot of people that like to watch. There's a few people that'll sing. There's a lot of people that'll help you, understand what you're doing wrong. But there's very few people that'll pick up water jars and just go do what Jesus asked them to do. And especially if they don't get to put their name on the jar. Whose name got put on that jar? Jesus. And he even said the miracle was done so that people might understand the glory of God. They might understand who? The glory of God. That's why I ask some of y'all, sometimes I correct you when y'all go, well, I go to Pastor Steve's church, not my church. It's the Lord Jesus' church. I'm not going to be here forever. Y'all not going to have to tell me to retire. I'll know when I'm done. You're not going to have to worry about ever listening to an old man that can't keep a thought. And that's not too far away if I keep going like I'm going. It's not about us. It's about who? Jesus Christ. That we might fill our lives to the brim and present them before God, and he might radically change them. So did you learn anything today? So watch. We got to fight through some real things. How many of y'all are selfish? I'm so selfish, I don't even know I'm selfish. How many of y'all really are? You feel that. I'm selfish. Now listen, don't get all wigged out about that. If you're sitting there going, well, I'm glad that I have overcome selfishness in my life. Oh, I just want you to know, if you act like that, you're the kind of people that kept people like me out of church for eons. Because you know what? We know you're lying. We know the only people that believe you are other church people that are just as deceived as you are. We know you've done the same things we did. You just lied about it. We just told the truth. You did it? Yeah. Told the truth. Then you'll never have to worry. If you represent me, I'll tell you if I did it or not. So you'll have to lie to get me out of it, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'll say, man, I'm guilty. If I'm guilty, then what do I need to be? Forgiven. Now listen, some of you won't come to salvation because guess what? You won't get honest enough to even know you've run out of wine. You're walking around water thinking it's wine. You don't understand, you're out. How many of y'all realize you're out without Jesus? Scary, isn't it? I know what some of you say. Well, Pastor Steve, I know that you theologically see it that way, but I disagree with you. No, that's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Nowhere did Jesus Christ say, if you're a good girl, you get to go to heaven, and if you're a good guy, you get to go to heaven. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, there are no good guys. There are no good girls. They've all sinned. There's a good God. And he has come to forgive all who will receive and believe. That's pretty amazing. Amen? Not some, but how many? Who will what? Believe and receive. How many of y'all need to do that? Balcony, y'all need to do that up there? It's the real deal. That we receive, believe, and let God work a miracle. Amen. Y'all believe Jesus did that? You believe he really changed that water into wine? I do. I can't wait to go to heaven. I mean, what are we going to do? I'm going to laugh. I'm going to stand by my mama. I mean, what if Jesus goes over to a big chiller and pulls out like a 12 and a half bottle, you know, big 12 and a half, I mean, 12 feet high bottle of wine and starts unscrewing a big cork? I'm going to look at my colleagues and go, told you. And he starts pouring it to all these people that fussed at people. Now, here's what I want you to know. You know why you can drink Jesus' wine? Because it'll always bless you. And let me tell you about our wine. It'll curse you. You know why? We distilled it. What we make gives a buzz. What Jesus makes gives a life. That makes sense? What we get, what we distill will pollute the mind. And what Jesus distills, guess what it'll do? Clear the mind. Now you see the difference? And Jesus tells us this too. Please do not leave this sermon. I know what some of y'all do. Y'all be tweeting right now. Ayers said it was okay to drink wine. That's not the point of the sermon. If that's all you got out of the day, you listen to the devil. Here's what I'm telling you. It's about will you let Jesus use you as a servant to make you who you are really supposed to be. That's a much deeper message, isn't it? That's for real. I guess what some of y'all, as you have done, your wine needed to be changed into what? Water. Sometimes Jesus says, bring me your wine because I need to make it into water because you have a wine problem. And it's not that you have run out, it's that you have drunk too much. And we know the Bible teaches us very clearly, do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the what? Holy Spirit. These guys were filled with the Holy Spirit, so that allowed them to take the water. Watch this. From a real master to a temporary master. The water was touched by the master of the kingdom of God, and it was exposed to a temporary master of a celebration. I think we probably need to listen a lot more to the eternal master and a little less to our temporary ones. What do you think? Yeah. Make sense? At the best, no king lives long. None of them. So we better follow the king that lives on. Amen? All right, y'all been great. Today, somebody going to get saved today. That's pretty cool. How many of y'all glad about that? Hey, anybody thankful that? Listen, I just get excited about this. I get to tell y'all good news every week. I get to tell you something really true, that Jesus Christ really wants to save you. That's good news. What if this was my news? If I had to say, well, Jesus Christ only wants a couple of you. That'd be awful news. But I get to tell you the truth. Whosoever will, Jesus will. Now, here's where you got to be careful of. You say, Pastor Harris, can I follow Jesus and do what I want? No, you won't be following Jesus. I mean, think of your question. Your question's stupid. How do you follow somebody and do what you want? I follow Elizabeth. That means I don't get to do what I want sometimes. Sometimes she asks me to do ridiculous things like wash the dishes. And I just want to have a prayer conference. Lord, may you take care of those dishes. And you know what he does? Oh, servant of mine, put your hand on dishwashing liquid. Put it in the sink. He starts answering my prayer. Okay? Let me help y'all. If you truly understand prayer, that means you're sending out resumes to find a job. And don't tell me there's not a job. I was at Hardee's the other day. Guess what it said? Help wanted. Now, here's the problem. It said workers needed, not executives. They already got a CEO of Hardee's. You know what they need? Somebody to flip a burger. But you know what? Here's what some of y'all don't realize. Sometimes people will start flipping the burger, and before too long, they own a whole burger chain. Because you see, here's what we don't understand. God takes little things like water and makes great things like his wine. And a lot of times it'll start with an everyday task, like carrying a water jug. So I don't want any of you young people to miss out on a great life because you're waiting to get your executive job at age 25. you've noticed, executives aren't 25. They're usually bald, chubby, and gray from years of experience. I know some of you all are impressed that you have a college degree. Guess what that means? You spend a lot of money to go to school. Guess what you know? You spend a lot of money to go to school. The people that are hiring you that have done that for like 15 or 20 years, the reason they don't listen to your opinions is because they actually know what they're doing. They actually have to run the business. They don't write papers about it or theorize of its speculation. They actually have to run it. You know, like if you graduate from the ag department, farmers actually have to drive tractors and plant. They're not writing papers on the theory of planting. They actually know what it means when it does not rain and you cannot afford a multi-million dollar irrigation system. See what I'm saying? And Jesus works in the everyday of the everyday. So be careful. Sometimes we miss a miracle simply because we won't move the cup. And sometimes we miss Jesus totally because we think he's complex, and there he is in the simple. Go fill up the jars. Well, Lord, can't you be a little more expressive than that? Lay down that habit. Forgive that person. Love your neighbor. Think about your neighbor, not only when their dog's in your yard, but think about them on the way out of the driveway. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, let's stand. Here's what I know. Jesus isn't out. If you've run out, you're at the end of your rope, I'd start here. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have messed up. I need you in my life. I need you in my life, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my what? He'll do it. Bobby, you ever seen him refuse anybody? I hadn't either. I'm just telling y'all what I've seen. BJ, I told you and Sean this in class. Okay, I've seen a lot of people come to the Lord, and I praise God for that, and I give him glory for that. But I've never seen God refuse anybody. And I've seen a lot, hadn't I, Elizabeth? Other countries, even languages I didn't understand, but I knew they were saying, and I could even, most languages, I can get this word, yes. You know, si. Si, senor. Did Jesus tell you? Si, senor. Yes, God. Yes, God. So today, some of you have already repented, and you need to tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my life and give me my sins. Now listen, I'm going to tell you. I know some of you go, that doesn't make sense to me. Who cares? What did Jesus ask you to do after you received him? Anybody know? Thank you. Be baptized. Now, Sam, some people tell me, well, Pastor Steve, I really don't feel the necessity of baptism. Let me help you. God don't care what you feel. Now, y'all can get mad at me. You can go to a feel-good church. Listen, we got plenty of feel-good churches in our town if you need one. I don't happen to be in one. I want to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, be baptized, Sean. He didn't ask me if it made sense. He just told me to do what? Be baptized. Here's all I can do. I've never had anybody want to take a baptism back. Now, I've had a few people want to take a wedding back, but I've never had anybody want to take a baptism back. I'm not one of those wedding people, honey. I'm just talking about, I've just experienced it. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, you've called out who needs to be saved. Lord, those that have already received you, may they confess it today. And if you never asked Christ in your life, here's the opportunity. If you feel God moving on you, listen, I'm not asking you where you are. I'm not asking you what you've been into. I'm asking you, willing to let God start right here today. Right here today. You willing to tell him, Lord Jesus, here I am. I know I've sinned. I've not done what you asked me to do. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Forgive me, Lord. I'm going to trust you to show me how to live. See what happens from now. See what happens from now. I bet God will do his thing. Maybe today you've already done that sometime during the week, last week or sometime. You need to come and let's talk and get that baptism lined up. Man, God's doing some great things today. Let's just let him have his way right here. Amen? How many of y'all be willing to just let God have his way right here? Let him do his way right here. Look at me a second. We got some real privileges. Dwayne, we're privileged in this nation. You know what? I preached the gospel today, and I don't think any of you are going to shoot me. In the beloved Egypt, I could not have said what I said today without death threat. In the other countries where the beloved religion resides, 14 countries, if I'd have told you what I just told you at this altar right now, they would be beheading me. Pretty crazy, isn't it? You know why? They're trying to kill truth. And guess what they're going to find out? Truth's like thistles. You chop one, you'll get six in the morning. So guess what? Are you willing to say, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Forgive me of my what? This is real. I got to preach just a minute. Listen, I'm asking you to shatter all that religious stuff you grew up with. You won't see my face turn red, my little ears fall back on my head. Just give me a bunch of legalism and I'll throw up. Because the Apostle Paul, who was one of the best Jews that there ever was, you know what he said? It won't work. He said, there's one way. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on a cross. I believe in the blood. And Lord Jesus, I believe you're alive. And I believe you're here. And I believe you're now. And I believe you will. That's the God we serve. Imagine what that God will do in your life. See what I live for it every day, that you might be saved. Amen. Go pray one more time. Let this altar go. God, I'm thankful to live in a country where I can give an altar. Lord, I'm thankful that people are going to be saved today. I'm thankful that people can be baptized. I'm thankful that you turn the water into wine. God, right now, I'm thankful that you turn sinners into saints. That's crazy. And Lord, if people knew me when, they wouldn't believe I'd have said anything I said today. So you're a God that works miracles. Work some right now in the name of Jesus. Guys, this altar's open. Whatever you got going on, come. Let's pray about it. Let God heal you. Let God save you. Come down here and talk to him. Say, Pastor Steve, I've got an addiction problem. Well, let's come get rid of it. I can't change you. Your mama can't change you. But guess what? Jesus Christ can. Let him have his way. Let him have his way. Let him have his way.